Thank you, Kit. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, that just really, especially you've got the pause word in there, since I'm from Costa Rica, although I'm American. Well, Ellen tells me that many of you are deeply committed to peace work, as I am. And so I feel right at home in that. And I'd like to share just a little bit about my peace work. In Costa Rica, I initiated a bill in 2006 for a ministry for peace. Now, some of you may be familiar with the initiative for a Department for Peace in the United States. How many of you know about that? And so I initiated this bill, and at the time, President Oscar Arias, who was a Nobel Peace Prize laureate, became president again of Costa Rica. And so when I initiated that bill, he supported it. And so it was passed in 2009. So now we have a Ministry for Peace in Costa Rica. And I have high hopes that eventually we will have a Department for Peace in the United States. Wouldn't we like to see that?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And then the other major aspect of my peace work has been bringing in the Be Peace practice to the public schools of Costa Rica. And after, it's been 11 years now since we introduced it, we've impacted the social and emotional intelligence, which I believe is key to peace, of about 40,000 students. And the teachers that we've trained are still teaching more students every year, so we know it's actually more than 40,000 students, but at least 40,000 in the first time that those teachers taught. So those are the two major areas where I've contributed to peace and working with some global peace organizations as well. But today, I want to share with you what I've come to believe is essential, the most essential to creating world peace. That's what's important to me in what I teach these days. And so with that in mind, I'm wondering how many of you have rich, consistent prayer lives that lift you up every day? Now, it's safe to be honest here. We know that, right? It's safe to be honest here. Yeah, okay. All right, thank you. So I'm wondering how many of you would like to enrich your prayer lives? Yeah, see a few more hands on that one. That's typical. All right, well, let's explore that for you today. Years ago, I was working at the United Nations University for Peace. And at that time, they were going through a period of renewal. This is a University for Peace in Costa Rica. It's a graduate school for international leaders. So I was very blessed to have this position at the University for Peace. However, they were going through this renewal, and it was a very demanding time. So I was working at minimum 60 hours a week. Then out of the blue, they asked me to produce a national musical called Razur in Spanish. I'm a Missouri farm girl here. So that seemed like really, really big for me. And at the same time, I was thrilled to be asked to do this because I had already discovered the poem that this musical would be based on. It would be based on the poem Razur, which had inspired all my work in Costa Rica. I had already founded an elementary school, and it was called the School of Razur. And I had founded the Razur Foundation to fund that small school. So I'd been so inspired by this poem, and the idea of doing a national musical based on it was just incredible, because this was an epic 85-page poem that was a mystical poem. To bring this out in Costa Rica, huge. So I dived in, began working on this musical. But it wasn't long before I became exhausted, because that responsibility on top of my already demanding job was just over the top. So after a long, tiring, stressful day, I came home and I was just, you know, just desperate to de-stress, to have some peace. Now, at that time in my life, I had learned something called heart-brain coherence. And Ellen tells me that many of you have been exposed to heart math and understand about heart-brain coherence. Is that right? Can I see how many of you are familiar with that? All right. So I had learned about heart-brain coherence, which is a very efficient way to de-stress. However, I was only using it when I was desperate. And so on this particular night, I was desperate. I really needed to get de-stressed and get to peace. So I practiced heart-brain coherence before falling asleep. And if you remember, the basic steps are heart focus, and then what we call heart breathing, breathing as if we're breathing from the heart, and then heart feeling of appreciation, generating a feeling of appreciation right down here. So I did that before falling asleep, and that night I had a vivid dream. In my dream, the phone rang. Picked up the phone. Hello? Hello? Who is this? This is God. Okay. God said, you've been trying to do too much. Just pay attention to Razor, and everything will work out. Have you got it? And in my dream, I said, I've got it. So when I woke up, I knew that I would resign from my job at the United Nations University for Peace in Costa Rica, which was no small thing to do, because to have a solid job like that in Costa Rica for an American was big. But I knew that that's what I was being guided to do. So I resigned from that job in order to focus on producing this musical. I was still engaged with the University for Peace in doing that, and produced the musical and moved on to my own work. And it was because of that decision and following that all the way out that my work developed, unfolded, and resulted in my book that I'm going to be sharing with you today. Here it is. So this would never have happened, never would have come into being if I hadn't followed the guidance of that dream. However, I believe that Spirit broke through into my dream because I wasn't accessible any other way. I see heads nodding. Yeah. You know, at that time in my life, I was very externally focused. It was very challenging for me to just sit down and be still. Anybody else have trouble with that? Yeah. You could say that my inner phone line was off the hook. Off the hook a lot of the time, you know? I was connected, disconnected, connected, disconnected. And in that state, I lacked discernment about making choices. And I wasn't able to sustain connection with people in my life. And I had other negative consequences from not really being connected to myself, to others, and to Spirit. And so I really yearned to change that. However, what was happening is that things would come at me in life and my feelings would get in the way. My feelings would take me on a ride. Anybody else go on that ride occasionally? And so my feelings were getting in the way of being able to get still. And I, even though I knew heart-brain coherence, what was happening for me is I couldn't find the willingness to do it because my feelings were taking me on the ride. So then I was introduced to nonviolent communication. I took a seminar with Marshall Rosenberg, and I learned about the world of feelings and needs and realized how out of touch I was with my own feelings and my needs. I began to realize that when I had a negative feeling, that it was just a little signal and I could go underneath that and really be able to name the unmet need that I'd perceived Or if I was having positive feelings, I could go under those and find the met needs that I was perceiving. And so it really helped me to begin to get connected to myself. And so when things were coming at me in life, then I could have a way to very efficiently stay connected to myself instead of going on the ride. So I could handle them here instead of here. And then, you know what happens when we're on this ride with our feelings is they tend to leak out into our world unconsciously. So now I had a conscious way to handle my feelings and my needs. Then one day, I had an aha. And the aha was that, wow, when things are happening in my life and I can name my feelings and needs, gosh, then I can find that willingness to move into heart-brain coherence and get still and listen inside for the still small voice. What a combo. Okay, so it was that aha that resulted in the Be Peace practice and was a huge leap for me personally in being able to handle what came at me in life in a very efficient way that met that need for me to be connected to myself, connected to others, and connected to spirit. So essentially it was naming my own feelings and needs, guessing the feelings and needs of anyone in the situation with me, getting coherent and listening inside for an insight. So that helped me a lot, and I later became aware of the science behind it. There's actually a physiology between each of those steps. And so here we have it. So you'll see up above, it says that naming our feelings reduces the reaction of the amygdala. The amygdala is the part of our brain that's that fight or flight response. And now we know from the science that when we name our feeling, the amygdala fizzles. The amygdala reaction goes, so we don't have so much of a charge on it. And then when we name our needs, that it actually stimulates the part of the brain having to do with empathy and our hearts open. So when I name my own needs or I guess the needs of someone else, what happens is it stimulates my brain, that part that has to do with empathy, and suddenly I'm either empathetic to myself or empathetic to the person I'm guessing what their need is. And then lastly, I learned that when we are in heart-brain coherence, it moves us into what we call positive affect or a good mood. And we know from the science that when we're in a good mood, we're more able to access insights, or what I call answered prayer. You see, when I go inside and I hear an answer, an insight, for me, that's answered prayer. So I understood the science. I was understanding these steps. I made a lot of progress in connecting to myself, but I can't say that I still had really learned to pray. And so I had a big emotional shock in my life, and I managed to turn it into lymphoma. Actually, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma is one of the two kinds of cancers that they know often results from emotional shock. Yeah, isn't that interesting? So I had a shock, and now I had lymphoma. And so in dealing with lymphoma, I decided to look more closely at what Myrtle Fillmore did when she was struggling to heal from tuberculosis. How many of you know the story of our Unity co-founder, Myrtle Fillmore? So the whole Unity movement came out of Myrtle's healing from tuberculosis. And I had loved Myrtle for a long time, had a heart connection with Myrtle, but I wanted to go back and really look at her experience about what really happened, what shifted for her besides just learning how to pray affirmatively. So I looked at Myrtle's experience, and I found that during her healing process that she got stuck at one point. She healed a bit, but then she got stuck and she wasn't healing anymore. So I'm going to do a little drama for you now where I turn myself into Myrtle so that you can see what it is that I came to see about Myrtle's experience. Now Myrtle used a picture of Jesus. This is the picture I'm using today. Now we know this is not really Jesus. But what Myrtle did was she would talk to a picture of Jesus as a way to get it out, as a point of focus. And I'm guessing she did that because she had challenges being focused too, right? We struggle with this, don't we? To stay focused in prayer. So Myrtle found a way to do that, and her way was to talk to Jesus. All right, so I'm going to just become Myrtle now. I'm just feeling so discouraged because I'm not healing now. And I'm just confused. I don't understand why. I'm doing everything I know to do. I know that my body is designed divinely, that every cell and organ has its function and is working on my behalf for radiant health. I know that's true. But there's something that's blocking my healing, and I don't know what it is. I just wish I could understand. Well, I'm going to move into my affirmations now, just blessing and appreciating every cell and organ in my body. Just appreciating the divine function of every cell that knows exactly what it's to do to bring me into wholeness and complete well-being and health. My lungs, breathing the breath of life. Just moving that life through my entire body and my heart, pumping the blood of life, giving the signal for every cell to do its perfect work in my body. I just heard the words, look among your virtues. Look among your virtues. Does that mean to look among my virtues for the block? To find the block among my virtues? I've always thought it was a virtue to keep my feelings to myself. And I see now that I'm just pushing them down and they're making me sick. Now I'm going to learn to deal with my feelings so that I'm not swallowing them and they're blocking my healing. Now I see. Now I know I'm going to be healed. Now I'll be completely healthy. Thank you. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you. Brings tears to my eyes when I get into Myrtle's space there. Ah. And so Myrtle was healed. Myrtle began to deal with her feelings instead of suppressing them. So when I looked at Myrtle's experience and what I was doing with the Bee Peace practice, I saw that there were so many similarities. They were almost exactly the same, really, because Myrtle was getting out her feelings and needs by talking to Jesus, wasn't she? She was naming those feelings and needs when she talked to Jesus. And then when Myrtle would move into appreciating all the cells and organs of her body, we know that when we move into appreciation, that feeling, that heart feeling of appreciation, that our heart and brain move into sync. So Myrtle, when she moved into appreciation, moved into coherence, into physiological coherence, where it's easier then to hear the still small voice. It's like getting the static out of the way. So Myrtle moved into appreciation, into coherence. She was listening inside, and she heard an answer to her prayer, to her need, to understand. Her answer was, look among your virtues. And she had to think about that. What does that mean? And then she came to understand, and she was healed. So Myrtle was doing the steps of the Be Peace practice. And so what was Myrtle doing that I wasn't doing? And then it dawned on me, oh, Myrtle was doing it every day. Because at the time we were just using Be Peace for conflict resolution, or when, you know, things get tough in your life and you get desperate. And so it wasn't a daily practice, you see. And so I, being externally focused, needed some structure to help me create a truly daily practice. And so out of my own personal need, we created a workbook. And this workbook has the structure of the Be Peace practice, and it has feelings and needs lists and the steps of coherence, all the things that you need to be able to do it. And just having this little bit of structure helped me to get down to it every day. And so for the first time in my life, I had a rich, rewarding, consistent prayer life that lifted me up every day. And one example of that is when I was healing from lymphoma, what was happening was the financial cushion of the Razor Foundation was rapidly disappearing, because I was the breadwinner for the foundation, and I wasn't out teaching courses, and you know, our income stream didn't exist, and I wasn't out raising money, and so our financial cushion disappeared. And so instead of going on this trip, now I knew what to do. So now, in my use of my workbook and my daily practice for prayer, I listened inside to my feelings of worry and stress and concern, confusion, and I went under the feelings to name my needs for the financial well-being of the work, for my own personal purpose to be realized, and for just stability, being able to fulfill the mission. So after naming the needs, then I don't have such a charge on it. So then I moved into coherence, heart focus, heart breathing, heart feeling of appreciation, and I listened inside. And the words that came were, stand in the glory of the gift you have to give. And I went, what? Kind of like Myrtle, like, what does that mean? And so when I really looked at those words, I came to realize that what it meant is, if I would just focus on embodying what I teach, that would be a gift to those around me, and the gifts would come back to the foundation, to the work. So that's what I did, and that's what worked. That in just focusing on that and living it, then people observed that, and the gifts came back to the foundation, and we got back on our feet. And so, in learning to go from being so externally focused to being more internally focused, there was one other strategy that really helped me. And before I share that strategy, I want to tell you a little anecdote so you'll understand it better. One of our Be Peace trainers, Belinda, has a daughter named Annabelle. And on a particular night, Annabelle was having challenges getting down to her homework. She was procrastinating. You know, she just kept putting it off, just couldn't get down to it. Any parents have challenges with kids around that? So Belinda, knowing the Be Peace practice, said, Annabelle, why don't we try doing the Be Peace practice to see if that can help you move through whatever it is that's blocking you from doing your homework? So Annabelle agreed. And so what they did is Belinda helped Annabelle with some cards that we use to be able to name her feelings. So Annabelle was feeling distracted and worried and stressed. And then Belinda helped Annabelle to identify her needs. And in picking up the need cards, Annabelle realized that what she needed was clarity and order and peace. Those were her needs. All right, so then Belinda led her into coherence, heart focus, heart breathing, heart feeling of appreciation. Annabelle listened inside for her answer. She opened her eyes and she said, "I need a tent." And her mom says, "What do you mean?" She says, "Well, I think that if I built a little tent in my bedroom and I took my books and my paper and pencil in there and just sat in that little tent, I think that I could get my homework done." So Belinda helped her to build her little tent there in her bedroom, and in no time flat, Annabelle got her homework done. So, like I said, in being an externally focused person, I found I needed a tent. And so when I pray, I use my tent. And it's a symbol for me of, now, Rita Marie, it's time to go inside. You see? Now, not what you'd expect from a Missouri farm girl. But it works for me. So, whoops, I think I'm, am I hung up? No, I'm all right. All right, so I am sharing about my personal prayer life for the first time in the last month since my book launched, because in having this own, my own struggle of being externally focused, I've come to realize how many other people have that struggle. How many of you can honestly say you've had that struggle? Most of us, right? Most of us. And yet we don't really talk about it that way. And I'm convinced that as long as we remain externally focused, we will not create peace on earth. We cannot create peace on earth by being externally focused, because there's a certain amount of disconnect in that. And so if I'm going to manifest a connected world, and when I say a connected world, I'm talking about actualizing our oneness. We know we are one, but we need to live it out, right? We need to actualize it in our everyday relationships. And if there's a disconnect inside, we're going to create a disconnected world outside. And I don't know about you, but when I look outside at my world today, I see disconnect. I see connection too, right? I see connection. And we know that in truth, you can never be disconnected from spirit. Spirit is always there working on our behalf, always. But we have the choice to listen or not. And that's where the disconnect can happen. And so spirit can break through our dreams, but isn't it better if we just practice listening and get to a point where we know how? In our times of so much uncertainty and chaos, it seems to me we need the certainty of our connection with spirit, the certainty, having it fully actualized. We need to be able to get God on the phone, right? Get God on the phone and get the answers that we need. Not just feel our oneness, but get answers. You understand what I'm saying? Not just a nice transcendental experience of oneness, oh, that felt good, but what happens when things come at us in life and we need answers? And so I think it's so important that we learn the how-to of becoming internally focused so we can listen inside and be completely connected to ourselves, to others, to spirit. You know, in my life now, if God called me up and said, "Rita Marie, do you know how to reach me, or do I still need to break through your dreams? Have you got it?" Now I can say, I've got it. Now, I'm not saying that what I teach is the only way. There are many ways to pray. There are many ways to experience God. But I know what it took for me to move consistently from being externally focused to being internally guided. And wow, what a difference it makes in my life every morning, including this morning. We are divinely designed to be connected to ourselves, to others, and to spirit. And we can actualize that design, fully experience conscious connection through effective prayer. So I want to share just a moment about what's coming up in my workshop, because I've described to you this morning about this individual prayer process. But what I'm teaching now in my workshops in Unity churches is a way to do this collectively, because we can do it individually, and when we take it to the collective level, it's out of this world. The results we get in terms of answered prayer. I'm going to give you just a little snippet of an example. In a workshop at a Unity church in Sacramento, I did my teaching, and then I asked for someone to come forward and share an issue. So this woman named Mary comes forward. And so we take her through the process, which I'm not going to share. This is what we'll be doing in the workshop. But we take her through this process, and she gets to the point where she realizes that she has a need. And I'm going to tell you what her issue is so you can understand the need. Mary says, "Well, I'm 87 years old, and I've had a friend named Joe for 22 years. It's never been romantic, never wanted it to be romantic, but I've had him as a friend for 22 years. Now he's in assisted living, and he relies on me for everything. If he wants to go to the movies, go shopping, whatever it is, I'm the one. And now he has some dementia, and so he can't really remember the plan from one day to the next, so I have to repeat myself a whole lot." She says, "But you know, it's not really that I mind doing these things for him. It's just that in 22 years, this man has never once said thank you." Yeah. Okay. And so now, like I said, we did the process, and when we came down to the main need for Mary, she said the main need was love. Love just between friends. The giving and receiving of love. And so think about it, friends. We've got an 87-year-old woman who wants love from a man who has not given it in 22 years and now has dementia. So then we took Mary through the next step of the process that we teach in the workshop, through the next step. And so Mary has her hand on her heart, and she's listening inside at this point. And after just a couple minutes, she opens her eyes. And I said, "Well, Mary, what'd you get?" She said, "Well, what came to me is something that my daughter was telling me about called eye gazing. It's when you look in somebody's eyes for a long time. I think Joe would be willing to do that with me. And I think that if he did, I would feel the love." So that's what taking it to the collective level can do. So friends, I invite you to the workshop, and right now I invite you into prayer. Let's pray together. Let's move down into our hearts, down into those beautiful, strong, wise hearts where we connect with the one heart, the one presence, the one power that has all our answers. The one heart where wisdom and compassion dwell, where we can rest in certainty. Let's just feel the truth of that within our very hearts right now. And I don't know what feelings and needs may be up for you today, but I just invite you right now to notice what feeling is alive for you right now in your life, and what need might be under that feeling that perhaps you might have been suppressing. Just to let those feelings and those needs rise to the awareness that is needed in order to meet those needs. What is alive in you today? what need is just lying in wait for Spirit to meet it. And now I invite you to just move into a feeling of deep appreciation for the answers that you have received in the past. Just remembering the many ways that you've been blessed by answers to prayer. Just letting your heart fill with the awareness of that profound connection and source. Filling our hearts with that joy, with the knowing of who we are, that we are beloved children of God, provided for in every way. And now as we feel that love and care deep within our hearts, I invite you to just ask Spirit, what do I need to know to meet this need in my life? What is it, Spirit, that I need to know? And just move into the silence and listen. In the silence now, deep in our hearts. And now coming out of the silence, we know that we are completely connected. We know that the love, the answers we need, the wisdom is right there for us, as close as our very hearts. We say thank you, living, loving Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the love that flows through those answers, for the truth that sets us free to be who we truly are. We say thank you. And so it is. Amen.